Night Theaters.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lurie. Well, coming up, there's a proposed settlement between the Hillsborough Classroom Teachers Association and the school board. What does it mean for teachers? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. And a local congressman will be holding a women's summit meeting this Saturday in Palm Harbor. Among the topics, gardening and weight loss. Some people are objecting to the topics, and we'll talk with an organizer of a protest that will be outside the summit meeting this Saturday in just a moment. But first, thanks everybody who called in during our week-long fun drive that ended yesterday. We raised more than $200,000 in 7 days. About 2,000 people donated during our fund drive. We're still short, though. Our overall goal was $220,000, and we're about $16,000 short, and we need to make that up. So if you haven't yet made a contribution this year to WMNF, please do. You can donate to keep your favorite shows on the air by going to our tip jar online right now at WMNF.org, and you can make your donation today. Help us close that gap and keep Democracy Now and From a Woman's Point of View and Radioactivity on the air. Again, please go to our secure website, WMNF.org, and make a donation and help us close that gap and get up to that $220,000. And you can contribute for any show on our website. Just tell us what your favorite show is, because that is really important. Again, it's WMNF.org. Well, Congressman Gus Bilirakis of Palm Harbor is running for re-election to his seventh term this year, more than almost any previous year, with the Me Too movement, the president's own words about women, the rollback of access to family planning, and historic numbers of women running for office. Politicians are taking notice. Bilirakis is going to hold a women's summit meeting this Saturday morning at Eastlake High School in Palm Harbor. Among the topics, gardening, weight loss, and financial planning. USF's President Judy Genschaff will be the keynote speaker. But some women are upset at the selection of the topics, and our first guest is one of those. She's Melissa Baird, who's organizing a protest outside this Saturday's Bilirakis Summit.
Well, I've been an activist for a long time, but mostly in the anti-war movement. And I saw the article in the Tampa Bay Times about Gus Bilirakis doing this women's summit, and I found myself just getting really angry at the topics that he was offering at this summit, because he's so completely and totally out of touch with women's issues, and the topics were patronizing and condescending, and I said to myself, this is ridiculous.
Let me ask you about those topics. He's going to talk about gardening, weight loss, a woman's guide to financial planning. He'll have mental health resources. He'll be talking about faith, identity theft, government involvement, and successfully transitioning from high school to college.
Yes.
Well, what's your take on those topics?
It's a bunch of crap. I mean, that stuff is irrelevant to the critical issues that he actually has some control over, which in my mind is affordable health care, women's reproductive rights, violence against women, pay equity, nutrition, and the fact that our food sources are being infected with chemicals, affordable housing, all kinds of issues that he has voted in a negative way, in a way that will have a negative impact against women. And he's not even addressing those kinds of issues that are really important, and instead is having a summit on issues that can very commonly be addressed and are addressed in many other forums, and are not the kinds of things that a congressperson needs to deal with.
Yeah, I do wonder what a congressperson's expertise on gardening is and why he... But let me ask you this. Gus Bilirakis voted against reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act in 2013.
Yes, he did.
In 2009, he voted against the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act.
Right.
Those are things that he could do something about. What do you make of his votes?
Only one that he made much comment about was the Violence Against Women Act, and it had something to do about how the money was going to be appropriated, and it was a kind of gobbledygook, didn't make much sense. So what we do know about Gus Bilirakis is that he votes the way Trump wants him to vote 97.4% of the time. So he votes party line, and it's very conservative GOP voting. It is not pro-women. As far as I can see, he gets an A from the NRA, and he gets an F from women. He also, interestingly, does not get high scores for his votes for the elderly either. So this guy just votes party line. And that's not the way his constituents want him to vote. And I don't think that they know that when they actually look at his voting record. And I don't think they look at his voting record.
You say that he gets an A rating from the NRA. What's your sense about women there in Pinellas County and Pasco County? What's your sense about where women are on the issue of the NRA in the wake of all that's happened this year?
Well, realistically, I think that if they look at it, that's not a pro-women kind of grade, because that's currently an act of violence against women and children. So I think that what I'm hearing from women who are going door-to-door and canvassing in this election cycle, they're hearing very negative things about Trump and the NRA, and a lot of concern about what's happening in the schools regarding gun violence. So I think that there is going to be a blowback from what's happening.
So, Melissa, this Saturday, Congressman Bilirakis will be holding his women's summit meeting at Eastlake High School at 10:30 in the morning. What are you going to be doing?
Well, we men and women, activists, regular people, are on the way up to Eastlake High School from 10 o'clock to 1:30 with signs letting Gus Bilirakis know what we think is really important for him to be focusing on. And that would be affordable health care, reproductive rights, fair pay, the Equal Rights Amendment, reproductive rights, all of those issues that we've mentioned before, to let him know that he's totally off base and he has no clue about what women or people see as a priority.
Congressman Bilirakis told The Times, he said, "I try very hard to allow ideas and agendas to be driven by the people I serve. I've always said the best ideas come from the people." It sounds like he wants to listen to women this Saturday.
I'm sorry, he's clueless. If he wants to listen, he'll come out and talk to us on the sidewalk. The thing is that there are a number of women's groups who are considering entering those classrooms where these presentations are going to be held to let Congressman Bilirakis know exactly what they want. So he's in for an awakening on Saturday.
Melissa, you're in his district. Have you tried to,
yes,
have you tried to meet with Congressman Bilirakis about the issues that you're concerned about?
What I have done is called and emailed and let him know for years and years and years about my opinions. And what I get are form letters that usually do not address the topics that I have presented. I have demonstrated at the Eastlake High School several times when he's done his pro-military presentations there, and that's my position with Congressman Bilirakis.
What's the range of people that are going to be joining you at this protest on Saturday at Eastlake High School?
It's hard to gauge. I have a sign-up that has about 65 people who have expressed interest in attending. Lots of people don't sign up, so, and then show up. People who express interest don't show up. No way to gauge how many people will be there. I'm encouraging people to wear hats, bring sunblock, bring water, because assuming the sun is out, it's going to be hotter than Hades, and definitely bring water. But it will be a fun event. I want people to bring signs expressing themselves. So Bill Arrakis and the various speakers that he has coming to make these presentations will see exactly how people feel about his ideas.
Well, Melissa Baird, thank you for coming on WMNF. Great to have you here. If people want to find out more about the protest, is there a Facebook page or is there a website?
There is a Facebook page about the Women's Summit protest about Bill Arrakis, or they can call me at 727-480-4027.
Well, Melissa Baird, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate you having me.
That's Melissa Baird, who's organizing a protest outside the Women's Summit meeting, sponsored by Congressman Gus Bill Arrakis, this Saturday at East Lake High School in Palm Harbor. The event, both events, get underway about 10 or 10:30 in the morning. And that's also going to be a topic in the next hour on the Midpoint program when Shelley Reback comes in, steps into the hosting position, and she'll be talking about some women's issues, including she'll have a spokesperson for Congressman Bill Arrakis on her show, and also one of the activists who thinks that the Women's Summit meeting is not a very good idea. That's coming up in the next hour, so stick around for that. By the way, you listen to MNF, you can always email the studio here and tell us what you're thinking. Our address is dj@wmnf.org. Just reading from the opening of the story in the Tampa Bay Times today. After more than a year of often tense negotiations and teacher protests, the Hillsborough County School District and the teachers' union announced a tentative agreement on pay and benefits yesterday. We're going to talk now with Stephanie Baxter Jenkins, who is with the Hillsborough Classroom Teachers Association. They did reach an agreement, a tentative contract agreement. It still must be voted on by the teachers. But we're going to hear about that tentative contract agreement between the Hillsborough Classroom Teachers Association and the Hillsborough School Board right now with Stephanie Baxter Jenkins. Now that you've reached an agreement, a proposed settlement, what's the mood right now among the members of the union so far?
I think for the most part, people are really pleased to have a settlement. They're glad to know what their future holds, which all this year I think people have felt like they couldn't plan, they didn't know what they were going to make, they didn't know if they wanted to stay. And so I do think people are feeling better about that.
What do you think the biggest stumbling block was? Was it the school board process,
yeah,
or was it the legislature? Or what do you think the biggest stumbling block to reaching the agreement was?
I would say the biggest stumbling block was financial. The district obviously is feeling the pressure of tight budgets from Tallahassee, and that, you know, becomes a tough part when you're trying to balance the budget. Now, luckily, I think they were able to find some efficiencies over the course of the year and make some cuts, and so we found ourselves, I think, toward the end of the year in a better position. But without a doubt, I would say Tallahassee is predominantly responsible because they're simply not funding our public schools.
What percentage of teachers will get a raise under this proposed contract?
I would say a little over two-thirds, because we did keep our general salary structure, which basically people are in kind of salary bands, and so about two-thirds of them will move. We've also got some bonus money for people who are at the top of the scale.
Mm-hmm. And the other teachers, will they get something?
Other teachers next year will be, you know, in the position where they're the band that moves. And so that's sort of been our structure in the last couple of years. And so that's how it will be. In terms of overall everyone in the bargaining unit. We did get some things like benefits in the school district child care program, so that will help all our working parents. They'll get a discount. We do have, you know, certain money and things that are at our high-need schools, and we've retained all that. So that's a benefit to everyone across the board.
In the Tampa Bay Times editorial this morning about it, which is headlined, Hillsborough Teachers Pact is Generous, they say, this speaks to how this district has been overly generous with the union in good times and bad. Do you think the district has been overly generous with the union in good times and bad?
No, I would say absolutely not. Again, I think you're seeing across the country more pressure that teachers and school employees in general are speaking out about actually how bad their circumstances are. I mean, in terms of other professions where, you know, higher level degrees are required, teachers are, you know, predominantly underpaid when you compare them to other professionals with, like, you know, like backgrounds. And so I certainly don't think it's overly generous. I think we have some hard compromises. Teachers gave up certain money in performance pay. They compromised on how much, how we did their movement upward. And so they're taking a little bit less than they would have, or some people are taking money at a little bit later time. So, no, I would not say it's overly generous. In fact, I would still say our people are doing more with less every day.
I don't know if you saw this because I think it just came out, but Education Week rated the state's school spending an F along with 25 other states. When it comes to funding public education, we got an F according to Education Week.
I have seen that.
What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, that's a choice by our state lawmakers. We absolutely, no matter what sort of study you look at, and you can choose different ones, but Florida, whether it's Ed Week or whether it's other surveys, Florida generally falls in the bottom 5 to 8 states, and that's been the case for probably at least 20 years. We're well below the state, you know, we're well below the national average in funding. And, you know, over the last 20 years, we've hugely increased our population as a state, but we're not spending time educating the children, you know, spending the resources we need to properly educate the kids in our state. And so I think, yes, we are still absolutely enough. And yes, that's something people can change by voting for people who support public education.
Do you think there's a war on public education in Tallahassee? Are the members of the legislature at war with adequate funding for education?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Tallahassee is a great example of places where they want to do anything except fund public schools. They want to divert money to voucher programs, which have absolutely no accountability measures in place. They want to divert money to charter schools. Yeah, absolutely. I think Tallahassee is, without a doubt, at war with public education.
Stephanie, one last question. Throughout these negotiations over the past few months, there have been large rallies by teachers in Hillsborough County Public Schools. Teachers are not allowed to strike here in the state of Florida, but if these negotiations had not gone well, do you think that teachers might have gone out on strike?
Well, I certainly think, you know, strikes, you always want to have strikes in sort of the labor realm. Strikes are a last resort, even in states where they're legal. Most people are living paycheck to paycheck and can't take the risk of a strike. So I'm not sure what would have happened because, again, given Tallahassee is so anti-public education, I think we have a state which would have been waiting for people to strike to utilize all of the things in law that would work against our teachers and support staff in terms of losing their jobs, losing their pensions. I think we would have been in a less good situation than in other states. So I'm not sure about that, but I do think Florida, like other places across the nation, as you're seeing, has had enough. I think teachers and support staff are standing up to say, you've got to fund our school. You've got to treat us with the respect professionals deserve. And we're going to speak out and be be advocates for ourselves. So I'm so proud of our members who stood up and said the balance, the budget shouldn't continue to be balanced on the backs of our employees.
Stephanie, that's all I was going to ask. Is there anything that that we should add to this discussion? Anything that you want to add to this discussion that people need to know?
No, I mean, I think, again, we totally appreciate all the support we've gotten in the community. And, again, all of our parents who've stuck up for teachers and school support staff over the course of the last year, that has been a wonderful thing to see. And I hope people continue in our community to see the importance public schools serve to the community as a whole and will vote for people that want to support those institutions.
Well, Stephanie Baxter Jenkins, thanks a lot for coming on WMNF.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
Great.
Have a great day.
That's Stephanie Baxter Jenkins. I spoke with her earlier today about the proposed settlement in the negotiations over the new contract between the Hillsborough Classroom Teachers Association and the Hillsborough School District. They reached that tentative agreement yesterday. It still has to be voted on by the teachers, and you can see more of the coverage of that in the Tampa Bay Times. They have an extensive article, too, about what's contained in that contract. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to open up the phone lines and take some phone calls. We haven't done this in a while. We've been in our fund drive, and the fund drive ended yesterday. We had a goal of $220,000. We raised more than $200,000. I think we're about $16,000 away from reaching what we need to get in order to make it to October. About 2,000 people donated during the fund drive, give or take a few people. And we need to make that $16,000 shortfall, we need to make that up. And if you haven't yet made a contribution to WMNF, there's an easy way to do it. Just go to WMNF.org. Just go to our website and make a donation today and help close that gap. It keeps shows like Democracy Now! And Radioactivity and Midpoint on the air. So again, the secure website where you can make a contribution, it's WMNF.org, and you can make a donation to help us stay on the air. Thanks to Monica in Largo. She made a $100 donation just before 11 o'clock this morning. Monica, thanks a lot for that $100 donation. She's a big fan of It's the Music, the All Souls edition on Wednesday. And a Claude in Largo made a $240 contribution. He's a big fan of Surface Noise. So a Claude in Largo, thanks a lot for that giant contribution of $240. People are making all sorts of donations. Some people donate just $10 or $15 or $20. And some people are able to afford to donate more. And we appreciate every donation, whether it's $10 or whether it's $1,000. So, again, you can go to WMNF.org and make your contribution there. Well, James Lyles is our phone producer today. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. That's 813-239-9663. Also, thanks to Arlene in Sarasota. She made an $80 contribution. She's a big fan of Radioactivity. Arlene, thanks for that nice contribution. And you can, again, make your contribution. Help us close the gap. We're $16,000 short. The place to go is go to our website, WMNF.org. Well, let's open up the phone lines and talk about things in the news. We can talk about some of the issues that were brought up this morning, and we can talk about other news items that you're concerned about. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Hey, man. Congratulations on the almost totally successful fund drive, and you're right.
We came that close.
That close. People should get you up.
Missed it by that much.
Well, didn't you exceed it last time, right?
Yeah, last time I think we made it within the exact seven-day period. Yeah.
Sweet, sweet. So let's review some of the latest Trump dictator leanings while the fund drive was taking up some of the bandwidth. Trump or his surrogates, such as Dear Rudy, wasn't it bizarre when Rudy said that Trump could shoot Comey? Wasn't that just strange? And wasn't it strange when they floated that Trump could pardon himself? I mean, if that doesn't tell people the guy's a wannabe strongman dictator, I don't know what else is.
Yeah, what do you make of that? I mean, if the president and his people are claiming that he has the power to pardon himself no matter what he's done, what do you make of that? You think that that's the sign of a dictator?
Yeah, and you had an expert on your show who listed a whole lot of qualities of dictators, and that's one of them. Is, you know, above the law, that's what he's saying. Their interpretation of executive branch privilege and the power of the executive branch and the power of the president is what you would expect in a monarchy, a royal monarchy, or a strongman dictatorship. I also note the optics of the meeting in the Philippines for this, what I consider a professional wrestling sideshow with the North Korean leader. The Philippines, where that guy even outdoes Trump, Duterte, by just flat out confessing to murdering people and encouraging his police.
Well, are they going to the Philippines or are they going to Singapore?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
I heard that they were going to be in the Philippines. I don't know where I heard that. Maybe Democracy Now. Maybe it's a side meeting. But no, I do think Trump wants it to be like he, as president, is like he was on The Apprentice. And the idea that he can fire any law enforcement official, and that he can stop any law enforcement investigation. I mean, I'm sure all mob bosses, Tony Soprano types, would have loved to have been president. But he's clearly crossed the line, and I'm just waiting for some major corporate Democrat, not Warren or Bernie or some of the members of the House, but someone like Schumer or Pelosi to say, that's it, this guy is impeachable. We're going to keep saying that, and along with all the other things we need to say about the Republicans. I mean, but that comment about shooting Comey, that's insane. That's weird.
Yeah, there have been some strange comments. Gary, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Rob.
Thanks for the comment. The president is on his way to a summit meeting, and maybe that summit meeting is taking place in the Philippines. But Gary brought up Giuliani Rudy Giuliani, who's the president's personal attorney, is making waves for wading in on this topic, the topic of Stormy Daniels. And I'm going to play a little bit of what Rudy Giuliani said this morning. I think he was in Israel when he made these statements about Stormy Daniels. Let's listen in.
She believes in her husband. She knows it's untrue. I don't even think there's a slight suspicion that it's true when you...
Now, he's talking about the president's wife, Melania. This is where he starts.
Excuse me, but when you look at Stormy Daniels, I know Donald Trump. And
let's respect him.
Look at his three wives, right? Beautiful women, classy women, women of great substance. Stormy Daniels? So I respect all human beings. I even have to respect, you know, criminals. But I'm sorry, I don't respect a porn star the way I respect a career woman or a woman of substance or a woman who has great respect for herself as a woman and as a person and isn't going to sell her body for sexual exploitation. So, Stormy, you want to bring a case? Let me cross-examine you.
All right, that's Rudy Giuliani slut-shaming Stormy Daniels this morning when he was in Israel. What do you think? 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's go to David in Clearwater. Hi, David. What's on your mind today?
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Listen to the lady from the teachers.
Yeah.
And I must have had a senior moment for several years, because I recall Sandra Day O'Connor coming out after she retired from the Supreme Court and saying, forming a foundation to reestablish civics in the classroom. When did we lose civics in the classroom? And doesn't that have a lot to do with why these people do not know what's going on?
You know, I am not an expert on this. My sense is that what's happened is that teachers have been teaching to the test so much that a lot of topics are getting knocked out of school, including recess and all that, because they're so worried about their school grades. Now, we're going to have to get a teacher on to find out. But I think you're right. I think civics education may be at an all-time low. But let me just stop there, because I really need to get an expert, somebody who's in the classroom or somebody who's...
Somebody needs to know how they stole our knowledge of our local government. No wonder we got such problems.
Yeah, I think it would help. It would help it. You know, it would help if news organizations would spend some time. And we try to do some civics education here on WIMNF. But it would help if some of the TV shows were to do some civics education about how bills get passed, how people get elected, how campaign finance works. You know, that's all important stuff. I agree, David.
It is important, Rod. But you're talking about voluntary people listening. It's not that.
So you want to take the kids who are in middle school and high school and require. Well, I think that's a good idea. You know, I got to find out though, because I don't want to say something that's not true. There may be civics programs, and there's teachers who, a lot of teachers are off on summer break. So I'd encourage them to call in and tell us what the status of civics education is in schools.
Well, I don't think it's in the Pinellas County schools.
Yeah, all right.
And one thing totally off the point was I was listening to someone speak the other day, and they were describing Giuliani as a very small man in search of a balcony.
I heard that, too. All right. Thanks, David. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. David writes this: I find it interesting how the Putnam Public's controversy kind of blew up on Putnam and brought down his candidacy a few notches while getting him some unwelcome national attention. I think it's political suicide to brag that you're an NRA sellout, especially post-Parkland. Nevertheless, I feel that Putnam is far superior and palatable over DeSantis, writes David. Let's go back to the phones. You're listening to Radioactivity on WMNF in Tampa. And let's go to Teresa in St. Pete. Hi, Teresa. What's on your mind?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good to hear you. Back on the shows. I have to say a couple of things. First of all, this Bill, what's his name? Bill Arrakis?
That's Bill Arrakis, the congressman from Palm Harbor, yeah.
Yeah. First of all, I have no interest in gardening. And number one, if I want to lose weight, I'll go on a diet. I don't need him telling me these things. This is just ridiculous. It's just, you know, where are the Republican women in all this? So they're like, oh, this is great. We're going to go learn gardening from Bill Oren. I mean, I don't get the Republican women. Explain it to me, some Republican woman.
And Teresa, in the next hour, we're going to have a spokesperson for Congressman Bill Arrakis on,
who's
quite an accomplished woman in her own right. So
maybe I'll call and ask her.
Yeah, call and ask her.
Why, you know, what's wrong with these women? But yeah, but there, I do have to say one thing. A couple of months ago, I called and said that if the guy in the White House ever did anything that I thought was right, I would call in and say so. Him pardoning that woman the other day, that was the right thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. And she's just one of tens of thousands. All right, Teresa, thanks a lot.
Okay.
All right, great point. Let's go to Susan, who's a teacher in St. Petersburg. Hi, Susan. Can you clear up the question about... Yeah, I can hear you. Can you clear up the question about civics education?
Uh-oh.
Hi, Susan, you're on.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, Susan, you're on WMNF. And,
I'll try to call back.
Okay, call back, because we do want to hear from you.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Susan, can you hear me? Susan?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thanks for calling. Can you clear up the question about civics education in...
I'm really frustrated by that sort of comment, since we have an entire year devoted to it in seventh grade.
Well, that's good to know. So you teach in the public schools in Pinellas County.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And you have a whole course devoted to it.
And the students have to actually pass an exam to move on to eighth grade.
Well, that's great. That's great. Is there also civics at the higher level in high school?
Well, yes, of course. Yeah. I mean, we have actually just starting off in sixth grade, I teach American history, and they've taken about a third of the standards and tied them into civics. And then seventh grade is an entire year of civics. And then in ninth grade, there's American National Government in high school. And then a lot of the students do a whole course of U.S. history for AP studies. So it's really a fallacy, and I'm getting tired of hearing that our school system isn't doing enough. And oddly enough, we get it from both the liberals and the conservatives. We get beaten up on both sides as though we're not doing the things that are logical and need to be done.
And Susan, is this a county-wide requirement?
It's a state
statewide requirement.
They have to pass a state exam in seventh grade.
Yeah.
So I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Okay. All right.
It's been going on for years.
Well, you know, not everybody's as informed as we would like, and that's why I'm glad you called, because you're on the front lines. You're in the system.
Yeah, and I do strongly feel that I hear this because, you know, of course, I'm more on the liberal side, and I hear from my liberal friends, I see social media that says things like this, or things like that I don't teach enough about Trail of Tears and such things. And, of course, I do in a very in-depth way. And then on the conservative side, I hear other comments such as the ones you mentioned that we're not actually teaching. So, anyway, just
I'm glad you called in, and I'm glad it's being taught, and I'm glad it's statewide.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Susan. Bye. All right, so that clears that up, huh? Let's go to Chris in Gainesville. Chris, you're on WMNF. What would you like to comment about?
I just wanted to thank you for doing such a great show over the years, and to comment on one aspect of it, which is that what separates you all at WMNF, and you particularly, Rob, is from the other guys of the what commonly called hate radio, the talk shows that are all so one-sided, is that you do a fairly good job of following up with some corrections or fact-checking, if you will, on some of your callers, and I just wanted to encourage you to do that more and more. It makes it far more entertaining for those of us who lean towards your points of view or the points of view that you represent on WMNF. It's more entertaining when you have a good, solid background or present a fact-checking to some of the callers. The guy that called in earlier and said Trump was a dictator for suggesting that he could pardon himself. Anybody looking at a good balance of the news realizes that it's quite a good question whether or not he can pardon himself, and for him to put that forth and his people to put that forth is a unfortunately reasonable thing for them to do at this point. It's quite a possibility, and nobody of any credibility that I can find suggests that that's complete nonsense. In fact, it may well be true, and that's the kind of balance I wish we'd hear more of on the radio and in the media, and you provide some of that. The other thing that same caller suggested was that Trump said he could shoot Comey, and that's ridiculous. Well, Trump never said that as far as I can tell, and you're pretty up on things, and I wish you had corrected the caller at that time and said, no, Trump never said that. One of Trump's people suggested something like that in context of saying the laws are kind of interesting in that regard, and they are.
You're right. Giuliani suggested that over the weekend in an interview with Huffington Post. He suggested so you're right. Anyway, and I should have corrected him. Trump did not say that.
Okay, well, thank you for the balance. That's what makes your programming great.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling from Gainesville.
Bye.
All right, great to hear from you. Let's go to Charles, who's somewhere in the Tampa Bay area. Hi, Charles, you're on MNF. What would you like to comment about?
Rob, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, because this is on Bluetooth. This is McKenzie, Charles from McKenzie. Listen, as far as what the gentleman said a moment ago, I don't think it's so much a question of legality, because segregation is legal. It's a matter of the spirit of the Constitution, and there are ethical questions around some of the statements that have been made and some of the things that have been suggested. So sometimes it's not even a matter of whether it's legal. It's a matter of whether it's civil and moral. When it comes to civics, I taught civics last year in the seventh grade. You do have civics being taught, but there was a period of time when it was treated sort of like an elective, and it was phased out of some schools and then coming back. And I think part of the reason for that is the level of ignorance that the American public has when it comes to government and how it works and everything. And I would say this, I don't think Donald Trump took civics. If he did, he doesn't understand separation of powers and checks and balances. He has no real sense of that. And then finally, what I wanted to say is that in Manatee County, where I teach, they're flipping it from 7th grade to 8th grade now. They're giving the kids U.S. history because they think civics is a little bit challenging for 7th graders, especially those who are in the lower grading levels, the 1s and 2s, that kind of thing. So civics is being taught. I think it does need to be reinforced. There was a period of time when it wasn't taught in some school systems, and it's making a comeback.
Well, Charles, thanks a lot. Thank you for clearing that up. That's really good to know. And I wonder if other schools are switching. I mean, is it a problem to switch it to eighth grade? Can every school switch to eighth grade? Because if it is part of the testing protocol, You know, I wonder if...
My understanding is there's nothing mandated by the state that says you have to teach it in seventh grade.
I see. Okay.
So some counties are choosing to wait an additional year and teach it in the eighth grade. Just give the kids U.S. history in seventh and then give it to them in eighth grade, because it has been a bit of a challenge for seventh graders. Civics is a rather extensive subject. It covers a lot of things from the Enlightenment period all the way up to how our government works and what citizenship is. It covers a broad range of topics, and unfortunately, a big portion of the American public is ignorant concerning some very critical things about how our society works.
Well, I'm glad it's back as not an elective as a requirement. I kind of wish it wasn't part of the testing process, but it's good that it's back. So, Charles, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Great to talk to you. That's Charles, who's a teacher in Manatee County. Thanks to William, who's in Lake Wales, just made a $50 donation to WMNF. That's huge. William, thank you very much. You can make your donation, too, to WMNF. You can go to WMNF.org, and your contribution, like William's, powers us into the future. Jason writes, somebody should show Rudy Giuliani all the naked pictures of Melania Trump, those that she used to have taken and published, so she could make money exploiting her body. Writes Jason. Yeah, I'm wondering if slut shaming of anybody are we past that, or are we still kind of in that period? People did, Melania, I think, did take some risque nude photos, but Rudy did not speak out against that. Let's go. Ernie writes this. He says, everybody should listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on June 2nd, what's going on with trade. One will learn how horrific TPP and NAFTA are, how they threaten our national sovereignty and enable corporate world power, writes Ernie. So we do carry the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Fridays on our HD3 channel in the morning, and you can look up that schedule at WMNF.org. Ralph Nader's Radio Hour is one of those shows I wish we could bring to our main channel. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Tina, who's in Tampa. Hi, Tina. You're on WMNF. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to, can I share something that about your discussion on education and where Florida ranks? This is from an article in the St. Petersburg Times. It says that, and this is published in January 2015, it said that the state earned 28th in overall ranking of states in the District of Columbia, published every year by Education Week in its Quality Counts report. And then it says, that is a significant drop from past years when Florida ranked as high as 5th and no lower than 11th. And then it says, Education Week is a well-regarded publication among school professionals. I just want to say that a person who grew up in Florida. I wasn't born here, but I came here when I was very young. I remember the Florida legislature and teachers and just about, everybody in the state were constantly fighting and arguing over what to do about Florida schools, that they needed to be improved. Was it just overall consensus? And they always ranked very low, and all of the fighting and bickering. But through that, the schools did improve. They were constantly improving, and I was dating myself, but I was just in college, getting out of college when Bob Graham was governor, and he was, considered the education governor, and a lot of emphasis just was on improving. Now, it seems like the past, 20 years or so, there's been a steady decline. But I think people need to really ask, okay, well, who's been in charge over the past 20 years? Who's been running the state? Well, we all know. There's been a move now. I just read in another article in the St. Pete Times that one, maybe it's not that state comparison based of public education in Florida. It says that one third of Florida schools are charter schools. It says that Florida had the third highest number of charter schools, and that comes from Public Education in Florida, Public Policy, a publication. I mean, obviously, if we're ranking so low and we're getting an F in funding, which is not good, we're doing something wrong. And I think that we need a, probably a whole leadership change.
Yeah, every time this current governor touts a tax cut, What that does is that it makes it harder for the state to come up with money for education. So even though the governor says these tax cuts are helping the state, what it does is it puts further handcuffs on the legislature of when it comes to funding education. It makes it harder and harder as state revenue shrinks according to population
to
growth.
To find the money.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
one last thing. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that just reading from the Times, too, Jeffrey Solacek's article today, it says, critics of Florida's public education funding system got another piece of ammunition Wednesday as Education Week rated the state's school spending an F along 25 other states. Its F spending was among the worst, tracking with past reports from Education Week. Florida's debate over per-student funding has been long-running, with legislative leaders and Rick Scott touting efforts to bring the amount to the highest in state history. But critics have observed that the amount has not kept up with inflation, and further, the amount actually available for general operations has not met increasing costs of doing business. Florida's increase in education funding this year was 47 cents.
That's horrible. And I just think that I don't know where Rick Scott gets off saying the highest in history. That's just crazy. That's not accurate. But it seems to me that he is a trickle-down person, and that economic system has never been proven to work. I think there's so much, not just in education, but so much in this state that has suffered because of his attitude that the best government is no government. And I don't think that the majority of people feel that just wiping out all of our, you know, systems is you know, to the benefit. I just think that people want to really care about education, and a lot of people have kids in this state, and even those who don't have kids.
Yeah. All right.
Who's been in charge.
Tina, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone.
And one last thing, especially vote in the U.S. Senate race. If you really want to, you know, if you don't want this to continue happening, do you really want Rick Scott in the U.S. Senate? Okay, thanks.
All right, Tina, thanks a lot. And when I said 47-cent increase, that's 47 cents per pupil this year. That's what the state legislature provided, even though there is inflation and all sorts of other things that would maybe cause some people to say we're not spending enough money on education. Michael writes this. This donation was made on behalf of the Ro Jonah Band out of Clearwater. He just made a $100 contribution to WMNF. Thank you for that, Michael. And then Ida says, regarding Bill Arrakis, I emailed him many times on specific points, and I get generic emails back without any attempt to address my specific question or concerns. I'm dissatisfied as a Bill Arrakis constituent, writes Ida. And then Tony says, yesterday was the 74th anniversary of the Normandy invasion against the Nazi control of Europe, commanded by General Eisenhower, who later became president of the U.S. Can one ever imagine Trump with either the courage or the humility that Ike showed? Ike's moderate Republican administration had such strict rules against corruption that Ike's chief of staff was forced to resign because he accepted a vicuna coat from a lobbyist. What a contrast with today's Republican administration, where the president's family members profit personally from deals with suspect Chinese companies. The EPA chief enriches himself while ruining the environment, and lies emanate from the White House every day. It's sad to reflect on how far our civic culture has fallen in my lifetime, writes Tony. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're going to go to Gary in Largo. Hi, Gary, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Good morning. As a parent of an eighth grader dealing with these issues as far as learning about the history and not learning about the historical events like Trail of Tears, they're learning nonsense. Learning about things like the sun came the other day, learning about Khaled Muhammad, DJ Khaled, not getting oral sex to his wife. It's insane.
All right, that's Gary, who's a crank caller, and every time he calls, he uses a different voice. So, Gary, thanks for eating up our airtime. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. Bubba writes, I wonder if Trump pardoned Alice Johnson to snub Jeff Sessions. I don't like how Trump bullies Sessions, writes Bubba. And James writes this, in civics, when will the mainstream media ask how a five-time draft dodger gets the authority to be a flag patriot? James is referring to President Trump, who avoided the draft by saying that he had bone spurs. And he avoided it five times. Thanks to Jean for her donation of $50. Her favorite show is From a Woman's Point of View. 813-239-9663 is our phone number. And stay tuned for the Midpoint program. Lots of good topics, including an interview with Dr. Susan McManus, who's one of the experts on political science here in the Tampa Bay area. And she's going to be talking about women's role in politics this year. And historic number of women are running for election around the country. It is a big year for women, no matter how you slice it. Let's go to Bill in Lakeland. Hi, Bill. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. I'm at one of those rotten Trump supporters. I just need to pass along some information to, I think it was a couple of your callers. They were talking about weapons procurement, and they said something about buying a Harrier jet, and you can legally buy a Harrier jet. They said you couldn't, but you can. And if he wants to know the address of that, it's on the Internet, it's Everett Arrow.
I don't think that came up on this show. That might have come up on the From a Woman's Point of View an hour ago. Could that have come up on that show?
No, this wasn't today. It was probably a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Are you in favor of civilians having military jets?
Well, when you buy these jets, they're demilitarized.
Yeah.
All the guns are taken off of them, and all that stuff, and all the avionics that run the weapon systems, they're all taken off, so you don't get any of that.
Yeah, so you're not in favor of having, because the question is, in the Second Amendment, what is an arm? What, you know, how high up does it go? How powerful can
you?
Well,
it goes as far as Harrier jets.
Well, that's a pretty powerful weapon if it's militarized.
No, it's not militarized.
Yeah, well, no. What I'm saying, though, is where are you in the debate about arms? Like, in the Second Amendment, does it refer to just pistols, rifles? Does it refer to automatic weapons? I mean, does it refer to flamethrowers? I mean, how high up the chain can you go when it comes to weapons?
I would say the basic stuff you can buy in a gun store.
Yeah, grenades?
You can't buy them in a gun store.
Right. Okay, so you would draw the line at semi-automatic rifles.
Sure.
Okay,
well, you wouldn't think anybody would.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, and there's another thing. They were talking about, he was talking also about tanks, M1A tanks. You cannot legally own an M1A tank. You can't.
Okay.
But on the Auctions America website, you can buy many other tanks.
Yeah. All right,
so
Bill.
For his information, they were going crazy about, well, what can we do and what can't we do? I just wanted to set them straight. There's a few things they can do.
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. I missed that conversation. I might have been working on something else when that conversation went on MNF, but thanks a lot. Let's go to Tom in South St. Pete. Hi, Tom. You're on WMNF. What would you like to say? Hi, Tom. Tom, you're on WMNF.
Oh, hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. Are you talking about preventing gun violence, I take it, or the Second Amendment?
No, that came up just in the last minute or so, and I wasn't quite sure where Bill was going with that. I think he was referring to a conversation that happened days and days ago on WMNF on some other show. But did you want to talk about gun violence? We have 30 seconds. What would you like to say?
The state needs to clean up this school protection bill. It really, it was a mess. The city almost took 25 cops out of the neighborhood to make them school resource officers, and I'm really glad Mayor Priceman did not do that. But the state would have made people less safe instead of more safe.
Yeah, you know, the legislature really did not give complete funding to local school districts so they could hire these school resource officers. It was an unfunded mandate, wouldn't you say?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's a huge requirement, because I was talking to a school board member in Sarasota. She said that each one of these school resource officers is going to be paid $75,000 a year, and that doesn't count training or vacation time or health care or anything else. That's just the basic salary. But then you've got all these other costs on top of it, including arming and equipping the officers.
And that's really not the biggest problem. The cost is a huge problem. And it means that maybe the school cannot have a school nurse. Or
yeah, that's the truth.
For someone who might.
Yeah, and Tom, I don't mean to cut you off, but we're out of time. But thank you so much. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Now stay tuned for the Midpoint program with Shelley Reback. She's filling in, and this is WMNF in Tampa. And thanks to you if you made a contribution last week during the fund drive. We're still about $16,000 short.